This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. 2 weeks ago, the Health Minister, YB Khairi-Jamaluddin, said that while the number of COVID-19 deaths remains high, especially in the Klang Valley, he expects that it will come down in the coming weeks, as the high number is due to the backlog of reported deaths. However, with the number of deaths reported daily still in the hundreds, how do we make sense of these numbers that are presented by the Ministry of Health? You know, what do they tell us about the severity of the trajectory of the pandemic in Malaysia? So here to help us break down what the data means is Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Chris. So now we're still seeing high numbers of COVID-19 deaths, like I mentioned, you know, but the health minister has said that this is due to a backlog of deaths that were previously not investigated and thus only reported now. I guess, what does this tell us about the state of our healthcare system, especially in the past weeks or even months, when the daily deaths due to COVID-19 was actually far higher than what was reported?
Well, clearly, I think this occurred mainly during the peak time in the Klang Valley 6 to 8 weeks ago, when things were very bad in the Klang Valley. We were overwhelmed. Hospitals were overwhelmed with patient care. And during that time also, the actual deaths were actually very high. Now, the teams in the hospital are supposed to look at deaths to make sure that they are due directly to COVID, not a coincidental death because of COVID. For example, if I have COVID and I walk across the road, somebody knocks me by a car and, you know, I die, then I didn't die because of COVID. I died with COVID, you know? So their main job was to decide, was this a direct COVID death? Unfortunately, during the peak time of the pandemic in the Klang Valley, the teams were overwhelmed on the ground and they couldn't focus on that. They were busy with patient care. And I think that's understandable. What is surprising is the backlog was actually so huge until even now we are only seeing the data of deaths that have occurred weeks ago. And that messes up our daily deaths in the true sense, because every time we listen to the MOH daily reports, we always look at number of cases and number of deaths. But if the number of deaths are not collected in real time, then paying attention to the death rate per day doesn't make sense anymore. In fact, it's looking at how overwhelmed the system was. That's all it tells us, isn't it? The larger the backlog, that means the system was overwhelmed. So I think it's a good thing that the Ministry of Health has acknowledged that and moved to another way of looking at the deaths, which is a very important thing to do, is to look at the 7-day rolling average, which is not real time, obviously, but gives us an overall trend over 7 days. So that if someone passed away 2 days ago, that data is still captured within that 7 days.
And what is that purpose of the 7-day average? You know, I think that's a new addition that people are seeing with the more granular data being released. But to break it down for the layperson, right? I guess, why does it matter to look at the 7-day average?
Well, it balances out. It takes away all these delays in reporting. All right. So we are giving people a 7-day sort of period to work the data. The important thing is looking at the 7-day rolling average is to look at trends. For example, what is the 7-day rolling average reported yesterday versus what is the 7-day rolling average reported 1 week ago? And those two numbers will give us the trend. So I'm not so focused on the actual numbers, I'm looking at the trends. So I think if you are following trends, that is certainly more useful and more accurate. This is important because now as we are going more and more with more and more people vaccinated, we are looking at not so much the number of cases per day. We are looking at the number of people who are very sick in ICU. So category 4 and 5, ICU admissions, ventilated cases, and of course deaths become the proxy indicator of our pandemic. So that's why when we realized that the daily deaths were not working out, the data wasn't caught in real time enough, they used the 7-day rolling average, which is actually often used by other countries as well.
Hmm. So I guess, is there a point to still look at the sort of actual deaths that occurred on the day before that is still reported in GitHub?
Well, I think they probably don't want to take that away. People still report. But for example, if today the results come back and says, okay, we have 300 deaths today, let's say, you know, but only, you know, 10 or 20 died in the last 24 hours, the others are backlogged. The 10 and 20 reported today, that number might change tomorrow, because tomorrow, some of the people who passed away today will only be reported tomorrow. So that number will change. So in that sense, looking at the daily deaths, it's not useful unless it's in real time. But because it cannot be done in real time fast enough, because it can take some time to look at the data, especially for the brought in dead patients, because there's not much data. They are brought in dead, so they have to go and investigate, talk to people at home, talk to their GPs, whatever. So it can take a bit of time, I agree. Sometimes they might even, for the rare cases, they might even need postmortems. So it does take a bit of time. So because of that, I think it's much, much better to look at the 7-day rolling average to give us the truer impression of how our pandemic is doing in the country.
All right. I noticed that on the new COVID Now website, there's also a panel that shows the number of deaths per 100,000 people, and that's based on data in the past 2 weeks. And I think what stands out to me is the fact that while the nationwide average there is 6.6 persons per every 100,000, Penang is reporting at 17.9 persons, Johor is reporting at 12.5. I guess, are you concerned when you see higher number of deaths in other states outside the Klang Valley now?
Yeah, certainly it's of concern. So if it's past 2 weeks, then it tells us what's happening during this period. Of course, the high number of deaths tells you that the pandemic is at its peak. That is assuming if things are reported in real time. Let's say if in Penang there are cases who have passed away in the last 2 weeks, but not yet reported into the system, i.e. the backlog that we had in Klang Valley, then actually the number of deaths may be much higher, isn't it? So, and if we report this later, if it's reported later, then it may also give a falsely high number of average deaths in the next 2 weeks because it's brought forward. The rolling average actually makes a better sense to give us a better sense of how the pandemic is doing.
All right. And I just want to very briefly touch on breakthrough deaths, that is among individuals who have been fully vaccinated. I think on 9th September, YB Khairi said that, you know, the number is very, very low. The mortality rate among fully vaccinated people in Malaysia is at 0.009%. You know, that's 90 people per 1 million population, right? But I guess, is that a cause for concern for the public? I think there's a lot of discussion about that right now.
Okay, well, I mean, clearly right across the globe, whichever vaccine was given to the patient, it clearly decreases significantly severe disease or death after vaccination, after a full course of vaccination. There's no data, there's no doubt about that. That's very, very clear. But we are concerned, as I'm sure people are talking about boosters now, and we are concerned, especially data coming out from Israel. We have seen more and more people above 60 and 65 who do get severe disease, and there have been some deaths as well. The numbers are still small compared to the unvaccinated. There's no question. It is still small compared to the unvaccinated. But because the data suggests that immunity seems to wane, it is probably important. It is important, and I'm very happy to hear that we are considering boosters for the vulnerable above 60 or 65 in the coming month. I think it's timely. At the end of the day, the main thing is we're trying to make sure people don't get severe disease and die. That's the main objective, right? The cases is like flu. I mean, you catch flu 2-3 days, you're not well, but most of us will recover comfortably. But for those who are the older patients, 65 and above, those with bad asthma or COPD, for influenza, we also suggest they get a yearly influenza shot, because we're also trying to reduce the severe disease or death in that category. So when we talk about boosters, it's very similar the way we approach it to influenza. So it makes good sense. So I'm also happy to know that in America, they are the FDA is not recommending that they vaccinate everyone, but only those above 60 and 65 and the medical frontliners because of our specific risk, because we are exposed so frequently.
All right. And before we finish, Dr. Chris, coming back to the sharing of data, right? I think a lot of experts are happy that there's more transparency, that the Ministry of Health is sort of sharing all this granular data and on a website that's accessible to the public as well. I guess, what do you think has been done particularly well, and what do you think can be improved to better communicate what these numbers mean to the public?
I think that to me now, the important focus is not so much the number of cases. All right. I think in UK and other countries, we have seen that clearly. The number of cases may still increase as we open up the economy. I think that's going to happen, whichever part of the world you look at. All right. So that's a given. I'm not providing any excuse, but that's going to happen. But the main thing to look out for is, are we getting more and more severe cases, more and more deaths ending up in our hospitals? So we must keep an eye on that. Having said that, I think it's still important for us to look at preventing clusters. I think that's important. So the SOPs still need to work. We might want to refine the SOPs a bit more over and above whatever vaccination has helped us with. Like, for example, you must make sure you're fully vaxxed before you can do something or go somewhere. That's a reasonable approach to do. I think many countries have done that. But it's still important for us to catch clusters early. So I do hope that with the more granular data that the Ministry of Health is looking at, it will strengthen the part of the testing, isolation, and contact tracing as fast as possible, because we want to stop clusters. So the focus on workplace, I think workplace safety has to continue to be improved, because after all, we are trying to do that to boost the economy. So our focus should be really there.
And I guess at the individual level, right, like you say, SOPs need to be tightened. But what message would you have to people as they, you know, they start to go back to work, as they start to continue to start going out again?
Yeah, I think number one, okay, make sure you're vaccinated. And as a customer, if I'm going to eat in a restaurant, all right, I want to make sure. I was quite happy 2 days ago. I went to get some roti canai from my favorite mamak shop, all right? And right in front of the sign written in Bogo language, next to their big sign was saying, all our pekerja is fully vaccinated, 2 doses. So I told them, wow, your new signboard, very nice, okay? But it was great, even though the government didn't insist they do that. But I think they themselves put that up, which is great. It reassures us. So we are possibly going to a safer thing. So I do hope customers, like all of us, when we go out for our own requirements and also for the economy, I think we should really encourage businesses who take safety of their premises more seriously, all right? So I think it's a good thing. I think we just have to work with it. And gradually, as more and more of our people get vaccinated, I think things will become slightly more normal in the months going forward. We have to balance between lives and livelihoods now, but especially with the vaccination program, I think we have to loosen it slowly. I think what's happening now is in the right direction.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Chris.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking to Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician, and we've been talking about why we're still seeing high numbers of COVID-19 deaths and how we can make sense of the data that's presented on the COVID Now website, such as the reported deaths and the 7-day average of deaths, and what this tells us about the severity of the pandemic in Malaysia. If you missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.